Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel is from Matthew. At that time, Jesus got into a boat. He crossed over and came to his own city. He was over in the Decapolis, where he had just healed a demoniac possessed by a legion, they said. Right? And he cast the legion into the pigs, and the pigs ran off and drowned in the sea. Remember? And now he is here and says he's back in his own city. Well, what city is that? It's Capernaum. His own town would be Nazareth, but the own city maybe would therefore be Capernaum. That's where the city hub, right? As we all travel to Casper or Rapid City, right? Or maybe Billings. Well, then, at this city, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to that paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." The first thing we'd like to note here, look at the friends, right? They look at their faith. They go above and beyond. They take this paralytic man and perhaps travel a great distance just to bring him to Jesus, as many did, to see that this man would be healed, even forgiven. They are a great example for us and ought to remind us then of our friends that we have in life, well, even our enemies at times, to consider them and what's keeping them from the Lord, what's keeping them from Jesus. It might be a physical ailment, like they're stuck in a nursing home, right? Or they're literally paralyzed like this man. What can we do to bring them to Jesus or bring Jesus to them, as the case may be? Perhaps there's psychological things that are keeping them from the church. Things they've suffered in the past or philosophies that they've imbibed, that means to drink, right? That have turned them against the church. It is our duty as faithful Christians to remove these psychological barriers, to preach Christ to them. And if we're not able to do so, to find resources for them to read, right? This is a great, great opportunity for us to bring these paralyzed sinners to Jesus. Another barrier or hindrance someone might have is some kind of social or relational barrier, right? They got mad at the pastor, right? Or mad at someone at church, or an organization at church. Or they're just mad at Christians in general, right? Why? If it's a legitimate reason, let us seek forgiveness, reconciliation, these things, right? So I want you all, as we kind of go through today, and as you leave today, to think about those people in your life that are distanced from Christ, physically, psychologically, socially. And consider, what is that barrier, that wall, that must be penetrated or jumped over to bring them to Jesus? I mean, we see these guys, they jump up on the roof and cut a hole and let them down. Right? Let us be like them. First thing we do is have reverence for Christ, knowing that as He is our Lord, so does He call them to be their Lord as well. And before we go about removing these barriers or seeking our friends, let's commend them to the Lord in prayer. Right? We pray for them. And when we approach them, even if they have what we consider to be very foolish barriers, we approach them with gentleness and respect, with dignity. And why? Because our goal isn't just to prove them wrong or to prove that what kept them from church is foolish, but we go to them to gain our brother. And so that should temper and tamper our emotional appeals. Now, the second thing we learn from this phrase, "your sins are forgiven," is that from forgiveness flows healing, courage, and joy. First, healing. Well, Jesus says both in Mark and through his apostle James, in James' epistle, that when we go and visit the sick and anoint them with oil for their healing, which we do, first, we are to forgive their sins. From forgiveness comes the healing of our mortal bodies. So what is first and foremost our need? Not our physical healing, but our spiritual healing. And so we do. We forgive. We start with confession, absolution. And then from that absolution, we move into the anointing of oil. And many of us haven't seen this or experienced it because we haven't been that person on a sickbed where pastor comes. And often we don't call our pastors to come and see us when we're sick. But you're more than welcome to, right? And even if you're deathly ill, I was prepared for this during COVID to go, right? I was going to have my wife sew me like a kind of a sick garment, kind of like this, right? A big long garment that I could take off. And then I'd stay in my office. I told her, if someone calls me, I'm going, and then I'll stay quarantined for 14 days before I see the family again. It was a very early time in COVID when we thought this was going to be the Black Plague, right? So I'm prepared, right? Call me. I'll come to you. It's the Lord's will. It's His duty. I believe that He who brings you healing will also keep me safe. And if He desires for me to also get ill and die, so be it. God be praised. Okay? So please, call me if you're ill. Now I go and I anoint the person. I forgive them. I anoint them with oil in the promise that they will be healed. Right? Because Christ has forgiven them, they will be healed. Whether it's on this side of glory, in a day, a month, a year, or not, right? They will be healed in the resurrection to complete fullness. And so we always forgive and anoint in the sure and certain hope that God will heal them completely. And that gives us great courage, which is the second point here. From forgiveness flows courage. Jesus says, be of good cheer. The Greek word there is a little bit more. It's a courage, it's a fire in the soul, a warmth in the inner being, a strength, an emboldenedness, a social boldness. That is, I don't care whatever anyone else thinks about me. I have Jesus, right? That kind of boldness. And so that's what he gives to this man. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Nothing separates me from you. And I've seen this quality even in those who are sick. When I go to them in their deathbed sometimes, or in their sick bed, forgive them their sins, heal them, or anoint them with oil for healing, they exude this kind of Christian boldness. And those that have worked in maybe nursing homes or hospitals, you've probably seen it too. Oftentimes when people are brought to that place in life, they can become very embittered, angry. And indeed, all of us are sinners, and we often fall into this trap too. We're angry that we're sick. We're angry that the family is not coming to visit us as often as we'd like. Things of this sort. Right? We're kind of angry or embittered. But not for the Christian. The Christian, having received the forgiveness of Christ, knowing that God is with them in their ailments, knowing that Christ will bring me through this trial and tribulation to Himself, they have a joyful, cheerful, emboldened disposition. And I've seen it many times. It even leads to an extent where they start saying, I want to die and be with the Lord. I want to go to heaven. And the world thinks, stop, that's really despairing. Stop despairing like this. No, this is a wonderful statement. Even Paul himself claims this. I would rather die and be with the Lord than to go on living, he says. Why is that? Well, he says at first, I'm hard-pressed between the two realities, because both are good. But I would rather be with Christ. I mean, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we rather be there in glory without pain or suffering or any such thing? Of course we would. But he says, but for my neighbor's sake, like the Lord keeps me here, and it's going to be fruitful labor for me. And sometimes when I visit these people in those last hours, those last days and months, it is some of the most apparent fruit producing I've ever seen. The joy they have, the confidence they have in Christ, not only is it shown to me, but everyone who comes to visit them, that they are content in the Lord and know where He is in their suffering, He's with them, and where they're going. And the last thing I want to say too, the fruitful labor, it's both a joy for the people who get to see it, but it's also a joy for the person bearing it, right? The Lord gives us such joy in bearing fruit for the kingdom. And then lastly, from forgiveness, the second point here, from forgiveness flows a joy that no one can take away. A great friend, a professor, a pastor of mine, said it this way. I may not always be happy. That is, sometimes life is hard, and I suffer, and it's not fun. Right? I might not always be happy, but I am always joyful. That is, I always have Christ. I always have a rock upon which I may rest. I always have a sure and certain fortress to which to find refuge. I have a fount of every blessing from which to draw up the waters of salvation. I have my Jesus. And even if I might not always be happy, I will then always be joyful. Such is the blessings of the forgiveness of sins. Now, when Jesus had said this, it wasn't received well by everyone. It says, and some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. He puts that question to us too. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and go home? Isn't it a lot easier to say your sins are forgiven? Right? It is a lot easier. Back in the day, it would have been still even easier, even though they, to receive the forgiveness of sins, would have to go where? To the holy city, to Jerusalem, to the temple, to offer the sacrifices for the forgiveness of their transgressions. Kind of a hard jaunt, but still even easier than saying to someone, you know, hey, get up, you're healed. Right? As many televangelists think it's so easy, it's not. And this forgiveness then is easy for us to say because no longer we have to go to Jerusalem. Christ has brought Jerusalem. He's brought the sacrifices really to us in his word. And so he has already paid the price for us. He's died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He has shed his blood for us and for our neighbors. And therefore, it's easy for us to say now, your sins are forgiven you. For Christ's sake, your sins are forgiven. It cost him a lot. It costs us nothing. And so we ought to be always very ready to proclaim that forgiveness unto those who have sinned against us. Not because of who they are or what they've done to us, as grievous as it may be, but for Christ's sake. He has won forgiveness for you, O sinner, who has sinned against me. Therefore, in Christ's name, I forgive you. Very important words. Excuse me, one second here. Then he sends this man back to his own house. Where does he take this new, forgiven, healed life? Back home. Jesus restores us first and foremost to our house, to our own family, be they family members of the household of faith or enemies of Christ. He sends us first back home. A couple weeks ago, we heard about the widow and her son who had died. Jesus heals him, raises him from the dead, and what does he do with him? Gives him back to his mother. Just before this text, as I mentioned, that man who was possessed by legion, what does Jesus do? Well, he heals him of that. He heals him of that possession. The man begs to go with Jesus. Jesus, I want to go where you're going. What does he do? No, go back to the city, to those who tried to chain you, who thought that you were just the greatest burden on society. Go back to them and be a witness unto them. So Christ sends us back to our own homes in the forgiveness of our sins, that we would live in that forgiveness with our family members, be they of the household of faith or be they enemies of Christ for now. We must go back to our homes, to those who at one time knew us well, who must learn to know us anew as a people reborn in the forgiveness of our trespasses, full of courage, full of hope, and the joy of Christ, which no one can take away. And so we forgive others as we ourselves have been forgiven. And the last point I'd like to make today concludes also our text. And the man rose, and he departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. A better Greek word there would be translated this way, authority. Authority. That is, under direction, given this authority to heal and to forgive. Now this authority is even manifest on our own day. We had it just before we got going with the service of the Word in confession and absolution. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, that is, I am under authority, and by His Word, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We behold this authority of Christ to this day, and it's magnificent. Such an easy word to say, so easy to hear sometimes, but wow, what authority, what power in our midst. And there are some in our life, in the world, that have been taught to really hate this authority. Some Christian denominations, you'll find, loathe, when they visit here, that very first word I speak. What? How can he say that? That's blasphemous, they think. This is the text we turn to. Christ has given this authority, not to me as if it's my forgiveness to give you, as if I'm some great person. I'm a humble servant, speaking only that word which has been spoken unto me. Go, forgive the sins of those who repent, and withhold forgiveness from those who do not repent, as long as they do not repent. This is my charge that I've received from Christ, and so it is. And it's from this text that we learn this power given, not just to the Son of Man, but this power or this authority to men. Now, this is not only just done corporately, that is, in the church, corporate confession, absolution, but also privately. And although I don't want to go through this in great depth with you, it's on page 292. If you'd like to turn to it just for a second, just so you know where it is. I won't read through the whole thing by any means. Two ninety and two ninety-one is corporate confession absolution. We're pretty familiar with that, especially those that are here on Monday, Thursday. But this is individual confession and absolution. Starts off with a confession of sins. You can talk about anything in particular that's troubling you, your besetting sins, things you keep falling into that you need and you desire to hear Christ's forgiveness for. But if you can come and receive individual confession and absolution, even if something's not burdening your heart, it's just available always to you. And I think we all as Christians ought to make better use of it, I myself included. If you continue on to the next page, 293, after you've confessed your sins, I say, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? Yes. Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. That is, pick up your mat and go home. Right? Instantly receiving that joy, that healing, that courage that we need for our daily life as Christians in the forgiveness of our sins. And from that, then, from the corporate confession absolution to individual or private confession absolution, we bring this forgiveness to our own homes to say these words to each other. In Christ's name, I repent of the sins I've committed against you, O dad or mom or sister or brother or son or daughter. Right? I repent of these sins. For Christ's sake, I do. And they are to say back to you, for Christ's sake, I forgive you of those transgressions. And for Christ's sake, or in Christ's name, I love you. In Jesus' name, I repent, I forgive, and I love you. This is the joy we bring home with us, having received this great blessing from our Lord. So I encourage you, if those are not phrases that you see and hear in your own household, practice them. Amongst your kids, when they fight, as some children I know do, you say, so-and-so, you need to say sorry, or I repent, right? And they do. And then the other person, you need to now say, for Christ's sake, I forgive you. I forgive you. And now say, I love you. I love you. And for my house, and now hug each other. Right? Take this teaching home. Practice it. It's yours. What great authority we as Christians have been given. And you will see in your own household then the joy, the courage, the hope that never dies. In Jesus' name, amen. Congregation now stands to sing.